With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, that's a spicy meatball. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
Ciao.
Jim Campbell is opposite me.
Buongiorno.
And Peter Donaldson's made it back from Naples too.
Tutto bene.
A man's passport should be his own business.
It's reading out Marcus's passport number.
Yeah. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, good to have you on board once again. The good ship Ramble shall set sail. Anyone like to comment on what I've said so far?
No.
All right,
fine so far.
Excellent stuff, gentlemen. Well, while we were away, of course, on that continent of Europe, and we will talk about that a little bit later. What a weekend of action in the Premier League.
Mm. Mourinho rides again.
Yeah.
I love it because it was like a constant effort to try and get one over on the other. I'm resting De Bruyne. And I'm resting Aguero and Jesus. Mourinho, well, I'm going to win then.
Yeah.
But I'm going to win the title. All right.
My absolute highlight of all of that, this is classic Mourinho. Obviously, in the build-up, there was talk that Pep Guardiola had said that Paul Pogba had been offered to Man City along with Henrik Mkhitaryan in January window. And Mourinho's response was, I'm not really interested in that. It's between him and Mino and one of them's lying. I'm not interested in which one of them's a liar. Don't talk to me about it. Don't care.
Wasn't there talk of someone being a little dog as well?
There's no love lost between those two, is there?
No,
there's not. Raul and Guardiola.
Raula is worthy of some attention purely because, despite probably being one of the wealthiest men in football, he just knocks about in tracky bees.
That's right. Yeah.
Tracky bees in a shirt. Love it. Open up. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, he called Guardiola a dog, didn't he? And Pep said that he should respect the dogs, which obviously I'm on board with.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, he's Ibrahimovic's agent, or certainly was, so no idea if he still is. I'd imagine he is. And there was much falling out between Guardiola and Ibrahimovic, and Raul is not going to let that one go by without getting his hands dirty.
No, exactly.
On the odd occasion.
But an absolutely fantastic game. I mean,
what a game it was, and a great win for Manchester United. And people can say it's a hollow victory and so on. And yes, of course, Manchester City will win the league. A derby victory is never a hollow victory. Now you can spin
away from
this,
home as well.
Yeah, absolutely, against the side who have romped the league
and are romping up against you,
and should be about four. But you can spin this either way. you can say that, oh, well, that's just a tiny, teensy little blip, and Manchester City will go on, of course, to win the league, that they will. And you can be fairly dismissive of that result for Manchester United. Or you could say, actually, that bodes well for Manchester United because they have been second best. Now, they've kept that second position. Now, if they do finish second, that is an achievement this season. Make no mistake about that. But now they've beaten Manchester City, and what a way to do it. And the manner of doing that as well, down and out, at half-time, there's talk of in the dressing room, the likes of Ashley Young absolutely furious and saying, come on, and Mourinho saying, we don't want to look like clowns. And a kind of collective team spirit of, hang on a blooming minute, we're Manchester United here, we're getting mugged off by our neighbours, they come back and win the game. That could bode well for next season. Mm. It's just, and when you hear about the goings on in the dressing room, Michael Carrick getting involved now more of a coach really at the club. If I was a Manchester United fan, I'd be very pleased, obviously for the result, but the way it went around, we'll have to wait next season to see if it has any sort of impact at all.
Some kind of familiarity must gel at some point because they've looked pretty kind of.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And I haven't even mentioned Paul Pogba.
I think and Alexis Sanchez played well as well. Mm. You guys tap into a really interesting point there, I think an important one, because the criticism that's been levelled at United when being compared to Man City, and I've maintained throughout this whole season, every bit of criticism that's sent their way has to be viewed in the context of how well Man City are doing. If Man City were sixth, and it was Chelsea defending their title or whatever, the criticism on United wouldn't be anywhere near as strong, in my view. Mm. But a really, really large part of the criticism they've received has been they seem like a bit like a team of individuals. They're sort of ships in the night, they're mercenaries, all the rest of it. Of course, City spent more money on transfer fees than United have, but City appear to have gathered around a figurehead in Guardiola and want to play for him, and you can see that being more of a project currently. Mm-hmm. United needed a landmark win, performance, outing, where people could go, do you know what? They're a team to be reckoned with now, which sounds mad because they're second.
But you're right, they did.
And City obviously completely imposed themselves at Old Trafford, and United, it was a bit awful to see from Man United's point of view. Well, this is right back at them, to be fair.
Yep.
I mean, they're not going to win the league. City are going to do that easily. But for United to go there, show a bit of pride, be down at half-time and come back to score three goals and deny City and City fans a chance to get one over on United in the most amazing way possible for them, to lift the title in front of the United fans, all this other stuff. I know they would have left, but you understand what I mean. That's a big thing for United. And it's not a small club mentality to think about that, because United are one of the best teams and the biggest clubs in the world. And it's a building block for them. They can bond over that. They can move through to next season if all those players stick around. And you might find they really grow from that.
Yeah. I mean, also in the context of being denying them that, like, you know, I don't think it even is that much of a hollow victory, because it's the last bit of, you know, pride they can win back in that. And I think that's great. But also what's massive is this is a landmark performance from Paul Pogba.
Yes.
They brought him in for things like this.
That's right.
And there aren't many actual individual performances in particular games you can look back and gone, he's really, really, you know, he's turned that game around and basically won it for them. He came in to be... He's a very different type of person because he's very flash and he enjoys having his own emoji and the Instagram side of everything and all that. But he's come in to be a sort of Roy Keane style figure on the pitch. You know, he's there to take the game by the scruff of the neck. He's there to make things happen. And he's done that today or over the weekend. That's massive for United. That's another sort of another victory from that game, because they need him to do that more often.
And the most disappointing thing with Paul Pogba, and always this season for me, it's just been work rate. When he doesn't fancy it, the work rate just dips. It really goes off a cliff. And that's half Jose's fault. You know, like, Jose Mourinho clearly isn't getting the best out of that footballer.
There's talk of them falling out and all sorts. Yeah.
But he took him out the side.
Yeah,
he put him back in there. Mm. Well, and he scored a couple of goals. Now Pogba, 8 goals in 50 games for Manchester United in his current spell, of course. Not brilliant, not terrible, though, but you would have fancied maybe one or two more goals. But he's not a player that you should, I suppose, look at the goal scoring. But in a midfield with Matic and Herrera, you look at those three, you think, something. That's not too chubby. And if you can get them playing, Matic at the base, perhaps, and then Pogba playing like a sort of a number eight, maybe, then that would suit him a bit more.
And what that also is a good win against the champions elect away from home in a team with Sanchez and Pogba in it. And we've said on this show earlier in the season that it's been hard for Mourinho to fit them both in and then both look good. Mm. And they did do well at the weekend, and that's another little victory for them. But we have to
fair to say they rode their luck.
Yeah, they did. City were absolutely fantastic in the first half. They should have been out of sight, shouldn't they? And we have to be careful about going over the top praising Man United and not really praising what City have done. Of course, they've slipped up here. There's a chance, albeit a small chance, that their season is going to peter out in the way they didn't really intend. Of course, they're still going to win the Premier League. They're going to end the season with two trophies and all the rest of it. But possibly even three if they turn it around against Liverpool. But if they go out in the Champions League earlier than they expect and they limp over the finishing line here, it might leave a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, purely because they had a situation, I think, earlier in the season, or a few weeks ago, where they could, I think they could have got 105 points, which would have absolutely smashed the current Premier League record. Now, they're 11 points off Mourinho's Chelsea record with, what, six games left. So, I mean, it's touch and go, given they play
and
Spurs
who holds
next.
That record?
Jose Mourinho, yeah. So, I mean, not that, I don't know if it really matters, because records are always there to be broken, and the Premier League title, they can never be taken away from them. And you can't rule them out of the Liverpool Champions League tie yet.
No.
But it's teetering a little bit, isn't it? Mm.
This is the worst possible preparation for that tie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, psychologically,
and
terrible.
And to put it, just to make it a little bit more sort of holistic, I understand they're still great. The reason I'm saying that stuff to almost sort of damn them a little bit is because there have been people outside of this room, pundits outside of this room, who've said, this is potentially the best Premier League team ever.
Which is a fair suggestion.
But it was. Mm. But if all I'm saying is that that's a dent into that trophy if they keep sort of petering out of game.
Was Chris Smalling an unlikely match winner?
Yeah, well,
I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah. Vincent Kompany got away from him, didn't he, for the goal, which has happened before in that tie. So that's a big, big moment for Smalling, because he's come in for some criticism, and I think rightly so as well, because, you know, he's... They've had far better centre-backs.
Sure. I think with Manchester United, going back to them, in that the mood being lifted and so on, I would suggest that this quote seems to have lifted Jose Mourinho as well. And he said, hopefully City can beat Tottenham to win the title, as our challenge is to finish second. Of course they wanted to do it today, but they're not going to win the title. Of course they wanted to do it today, but they are going to win the title, just not today. Although I'm sure that if Manchester City, I think if they beat Spurs, but Manchester United beat West Brom, which surely they will, then they have to wait another week. Anyway, but let's not get bogged down into
back on,
that.
Title race back on.
Woo! Title race is back on.
Oh, man, imagine. Imagine if Mourinho turned it around in the press conference when they won the league. You went, well, what are you worried about? Oh, don't worry.
He'd just explode, wouldn't he?
Yeah. The unkempt stubble's gone.
Yep.
He's got his best suit on.
Uh-huh.
He's put the old Just for Men in the hair.
That's it.
He's back to 2005, Jose. What are you worried about?
He's on the pitch, running around like Inter, yeah, Barcelona,
yeah.
All that again, gouging eyes. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
my goodness, apart from the gouging eyes. Mm. But a great win for Manchester United, you cannot deny. Yeah. Wonderful game of football.
City lost that game, though.
They did lose that game. Raheem's done their chances. De Gea made a great save, one off the post and so on. Don't worry, Manchester City fans, the league title's safe. But let your poor little neighbours just have a moment,
yeah.
Eh?
The
having been
neighbors.
Bereft for so long without one.
Meek little quiet neighbours.
Everton drew 0-0 with Liverpool. Both keepers earned their clean sheets that day. Joe Hart was not involved in that game.
He played well in a different game.
Yeah, sorry, I glanced down at my notes.
Season.
But all the way down. Nonsense. A better result for Everton. They've been on the wrong side of that of the result in the derby before. I suppose some of them might think they could have won it towards the end. But the big story from that game was Wayne Rooney being annoyed when he was taken off, and Allardyce saying that he struggles against top quality opposition.
Yeah.
Now, I mean,
that's going to upset people,
well,
isn't it?
Some might say yes. I mean,
it's
the game.
It's amazing. The manager, I subbed him off. Yeah, yeah. He was a bit angry, yeah. But I mean, he's not that good. Yeah. It's essentially what he's saying.
His legs are gone now. Yeah.
Don't play him then, Sam.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, he can't hack it against the top opposition, is essentially what he's saying. However, if you look back on the season, Everton were for a long time the only side who'd taken points off, or a point off Manchester City early on. Yeah, you're going back to the start of the season, but it wasn't years ago, it was months ago, essentially, and Rooney got the goal in that game. Mm. He played very well at Old Trafford, should have perhaps scored in the game away to Manchester United. I understand what he's saying, that if you have a side like, say, Manchester City, when they just overran them, but I don't think Rooney's sort of struggling necessarily. He might have done towards in the second half of the season.
I think
it's a strange thing.
I didn't see this game in its entirety because we were away. I do think it's a bit of a funny idea to play Rooney in that midfield three against a team as dynamic as Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool rested players. Of course they did ahead of the City game. And, you know, Salah's been nursing a groin injury, I think. But even so, it was always going to be a tough ask for Rooney at this stage in his career. But I don't really agree. I'm not the biggest fan of Sam Allardyce, as you guys know, but I don't really agree with playing the guy. You know the team you're playing against. You knew beforehand who you were playing. Playing him, dragging him, and then saying, "Oh yeah, all this, that, and the other." I think that's a bit below the belt, really. But looking at what I saw of the game, centre backs for both teams played really well. I mean, Keane's back in the team, looking good again for Everton. That's important.
His World Cup spot's probably gone now.
It is. But you know, you never know what's around the corner in terms of injury.
And
if you need to call upon someone, you prefer him to be playing well. Mm-hmm. Pickford played okay again, and also encouraging for Liverpool fans. Lovren and Van Dijk look like they're putting a bit of a partnership together, which is important. Akarius has settled in there in that goalkeeping position now, and it's something we've been crying out for Liverpool. And I'm sure Liverpool fans have been as well. That back three of a keeper and two centre-backs, keep it consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can keep them fit and keep them playing, Van Dijk looks like he's having a good effect on that back line. None of us expected a 0-0, least of all our bet of the week suggester. Yeah, we'll come on that to that later.
Indeed.
But overall, a good point for Everton.
Everton's still confused with all the number 10s they have. And this is a thing that we spotted early on in the season. I'm sure a lot of people did as well. And they signed Sigurdsson for big, big money. But you've got Rooney, Sigurdsson, Davis, Klaassen, just to mention four.
Is Sigurdsson injured? He wasn't in the squad.
I believe so.
Right.
But he said, Allardyce said this about David Klaassen. And this was a player who featured heavily for Ajax, of course, who got to the Europa League final against Man United last season and had a very good year and were playing some great football. And he said about Klaassen, I was utterly intrigued about what's going on there. He said, David Klaassen is still an anomaly to me. This is Allardyce. Will he or won't he? If I had an opportunity to play him, I would, but I haven't because I've got to win.
Has he got lost somewhere?
I don't.
Just wandering around Liverpool, not knowing where he is.
That basically just means that Allardyce doesn't fancy him. He's
exactly,
not Allardyce's sort of player, so he's not going to try and... I mean, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Well,
right?
This is it.
So Klaassen's obviously a talented player. Maybe he needs some time to adjust to the Premier League. Maybe he's not the type of player that Allardyce likes working with or the type of personality.
Yep.
And so he's not going to get a look in. But Allardyce isn't a long-term solution to Everton anyway. So Klaassen can wait around.
They might even change it around in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, with his business with Wayne Rooney, though, to briefly go back to that, I wonder if Rooney, he's quite vocal, he's a leader, he's a player that a lot of people in that squad will look up to, and rightly so. And he is, you know, people say he's an Evertonian through and through.
Well, Sam Allardyce himself said that, didn't
yes,
he?
And Allardyce is due to meet with Rooney this week, so we'll have to wait for the fallout there. But I wonder if there's maybe a slight power struggle there. I wonder if Rooney is I don't know, could it be a case of somebody thinking he's getting above his station? Or
do you know what I find interesting about? Sorry, Jim, just to cut in really quickly. The thing I find interesting about the Rooney situation at Everton is they signed so many players in the summer, of which, of course, Wayne Rooney was one of them.
Yeah.
He's 32 years old, okay? Everyone knows his best years are behind him, but a careful, thoughtful manager could probably get something out of him.
Well, he's scored, double figures, I think, this
season. Yeah, he's got 10 league goals this season. Yeah. But the point I was just going to make, and
an underwhelming Everton side.
Absolutely.
Disjointed.
Well, this is the thing, Pete. They've been really poor based on their expectations going into the season. Rooney's made 28 Premier League appearances, 24 starts, and I think he's played in about 8 different positions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A 32-year-old, because they've been so bereft, that he's had to fill in everywhere. I actually think he probably deserves a bit more respect than that.
It wouldn't shock me if there's something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that, and you look at the career Rooney's had, and the type of player he's always been, and obviously he can't do the things he did, but he's never going to... he's never just going to accept mediocrity, is he, Wayne Rooney? He's always going to want to push his teammates forward. And he's probably as frustrated as anyone looking at the way Everton are playing. So that power struggle is absolutely going to come from him.
You're right, Jim. There's no way he would have gone to Everton if he didn't think he could make a
absolutely
contribution.
Absolutely. I mean, he's looking at a really, really precious season of his career sort of going down the drain here. If he's not being played in a team that are set up to attack much at all in general, when, you know, other attacking players are being publicly frozen out, like that's two number 10s he's effectively criticised in public after the same game. I'd be fucking frustrated if I was Wayne Rooney as well.
Yeah, it sounds like you are on behalf of him, Jim.
So he's playing in the midfield really against Liverpool. Like I say, he's played 7 or 8 different positions. He's their top scorer in the Premier League this season. So I mean, what does Allardyce want? I mean, fair enough, he's had a poor game.
He wants a clean sheet and he got it.
He's absolutely fine, but just to be clear, it's absolutely fine for a manager to substitute a player who's not having a great game. That's the manager's right. But to say the stuff he said, you know.
Yeah.
Would you say that about a player like Stuart Pearce?
Does Sam Allardyce sleep in Evertonian pyjamas? No, but Wayne Rooney does.
Well, you don't know that he doesn't. Maybe it's part of the deal.
I can't answer that.
No. It's like when you get your suit with the club that. Crest on and you get pyjamas as well. Maybe the whole squad have to do it.
We all know that Big Sam sleeps completely naked.
Billy Bollocks, isn't he? Yeah.
Naked is the day he was born.
Yeah. And he'd manage like that if it wasn't against the law.
Just picture that in your mind now if you're listening.
I am.
Yeah. Drink it in.
There we go. Before we go to the break, Chelsea played West Ham. It was 1-1, of course. Good point for West Ham. Very handy point indeed. Mm. They're now 6 points above the rally zone. And West Ham are surely safe now, aren't they? West Ham fans will be going, don't say that. Yeah. Oh, bloody well have. Yeah. And with Joe Hart in your team, you're absolutely fine. He played very well.
You sort of support Joe Hart, don't you, Mark? Yeah. Most people support team.
He plays for England.
Whether he's playing for England or Everton or Liverpool, it seems.
I wouldn't say that West Ham are safe. They're six points off.
I'm saying it, mate.
I'm saying they're safer than they were a little while ago looked like they were in absolute free fall.
I think West Ham will be okay.
But the spectre at the
fifth tier. But that's a great point. Away to Chelsea, they wouldn't have thought.
It's a fantastic point, and Chelsea were pretty profligate. But the spectre at the feast here at the time of recording is this Antonio Conte stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Slaven Bilic, who was watching the match for Sky Sports.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, he does look like a spectre at a feast.
Don't touch my babies. Yeah.
That's David O'Leary.
I know, but it's the same thing.
You're all over the place.
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
No, I'm saying that he managed them a lot this season, didn't get much out of them.
What are you saying? we talked about Newcastle saying the reason they would be safe a week or two ago is because the amount of teams below them, and West Ham have got obviously a number of teams below them now, so they should be okay, but they won't be thinking they're safe. But the original point I was going to make was this Antonio Conte news. At the time of recording, there's been reports that Chelsea have put a page on their website saying he's going to leave by mutual consent. We all expect him to leave in the summer, and we've been saying that for months, and I think that will still happen. But at the time of recording, we don't know if he's leaving or not, and it would be an odd time for him to leave, wouldn't it? Because you think he would just see it out.
Well, maybe he's found some cheap flight somewhere and just thought, what?
I'll do it.
I'll just get out now.
Yeah.
I want to go on holiday.
Maybe he thinks if he goes now, he can take the Italian job and get a final chance of qualifying for the World Cup. But they're 10 points off the top four, Chelsea. And we talked about this last week. We talked about how, by and large, bar one season, they've always really had Champions League football in this new era.
Well, and they're only 3 points above Arsenal.
Yeah. And think of the way that it's been reported the season Arsenal have had. Yeah. Probably rightly so. Mm. But for Chelsea to only be 3 points ahead of them, it's a bit of a damning indictment.
Yeah,
really.
Well, I think the way the season's gone, because City have run away with it, you know, no one's really... The sort of race for the rest of the spots, as people are looking at it as if it's quite sort of anti-climax, whatever happens, you know. So I think, you know, Chelsea's form has gone way under the radar there. You know, it's a really shocking title defence from them. I know that, you know, they didn't have Champions League football when they won it, so that obviously meant that, you know, a small squad could go further. But it's been really, really poor. And you wonder, are those days of Chelsea always having a seat at the top table gone?
Mm. Are those days where teams defend their title gone?
Well, we'll find out next season, because surely Manchester City will, you know, put in a good
They've lost, defense. I think they've dropped something, like, they've dropped... you know, a lot of points since the turn of the year. I mean, they're given how consistent they were for the first half of the season. They lost that game at West Ham, actually, funnily enough, didn't they? Lost 1-0 at West Ham, and it was a really odd performance. Other than that, they were pretty consistent. And then as soon as the year turned, they've been so inconsistent. Like, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, do you remember they beat Brighton like 4-0 and played amazing scintillating football? It was one of the goals of the season, didn't they?
Yeah, William.
In January.
Defensively, though, they've been a little bit out of sorts. I mean, David Luiz, he doesn't...
The next one, they lost at home to Bournemouth 3-0. Yeah. He's mad.
Luiz and Conte appear to have fallen out.
Massively.
Gary Cahill is, you know, over the
form
Cahill.
Has been... I think that's where they've come undone. Whereas as going for, I mean, Morata, the goals have dried up a little bit there. But whatever happens, Willian looks great.
Mm. He always does.
Playing Hazard up front as a false nine.
He's done that. That's happened a few times.
I know it has, but it all just seems a little bit confused, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we're going to have correspondence with Pete Donaldson after this break.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
It's time for correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
Diggory, diggory.
Oh.
Just the two.
Wasn't expecting that, to be honest. a couple of emails. Thank you very much to Adam Robinson, pointing out another bit of lovely
Here's
social
to you,
media.
Adam Robinson, Jesus loves you more than you will know.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Adam Robinson. Yeah. Hey guys, just thought I'd send this in case you haven't seen it, as you were talking about Ben Arfa causing a stir at PSG on the preview show.
Pizza in the dressing room.
Well, he's basically, it's just a little bit of more lovely social media from Ben Arfa.
Oh, is this the cake, Pete?
Yes!
Yeah, I've seen this.
He's posted a picture of him eating a cake, or basically a cake with a candle in it, saying one, and he's celebrating 1 year in the cupboard.
1 year since he last played?
Yes, he says, happy anniversary to me, 1 year in the cupboard.
Is that on the bench?
Happy anniversary to me. 1 year in the cupboard is worth celebrating. There you go.
I guess that's his way of saying I've not been playing football.
Not been playing.
In so, the cupboard.
I hope he's not been in an actual cupboard.
No, yeah. I know, right?
I, for one, am shocked that move didn't pan out.
Oh, so he's celebrating 1 year since he last played for PSG.
Yeah. That's
but
right.
I just love how he's just mugging off the club, going, yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
And that's why he needs to be back in there at St James's Park.
Yeah, get him back,
post-haste. Post-haste.
Get him back.
He's great because he's exactly the sort of player Benitez likes working with.
Well, we'll talk about Newcastle and Benitez shortly.
Look out for that, guys. Hello to Jacob King. Hello, Ramblers. And a good whatever time of the day it is, he says. I remember a while back you were talking about people scoring from different postal codes. Now, we may or may not have mentioned this one. I'm almost certain we didn't, though.
Is it Luton?
If you hit the ball, you know, far out...
One half is maybe in one postcode, one in the other.
Well, we talked about it famously. Where, wasn't there a guy who played up in Scotland who had got in trouble with the law, and he had a curfew, and he wasn't able to go in certain parts of the town.
Oh, in the upper end of the pitch.
And he had an ankle brace or something. And it worked out that, like, the pitch, half of it was where he could go and half of it was where he couldn't. So I guess it depends what position he was playing.
Goal hanger.
Massively.
You're offside all game. Offside.
Well, you'd have to be up front one game and then at the back of the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Second
Dion Dublin.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
Dion Dublin never had an ankle bracelet. Let's make that very clear.
No.
So basically, he's recently found out that about the Estadio Milton Correa, more commonly known as the Zorau, located in, is it Massapa, Brazil?
I don't know.
Brazil. Yeah. The pitch's centre line is located on the equator. This means teams are literally attacking and defending in different hemispheres.
Lovely stuff.
Isn't that great?
They've done that on purpose and I like it.
Yep. Thank you, Jacob King. For that one, if you want to get in touch with the show, it's show@thefootballramble.com.
So does the ball curl differently? In the southern hemisphere.
That's a myth, isn't it?
What, with the toilet?
The plug hole's a myth.
Is it? Yeah. Never tried it. How could I?
Why would I?
I'm happy with the way toilets are.
We went to Johannesburg.
Yeah. That's in the southern hemisphere.
Did you do a test?
I did many tests.
When he got back, he had a couple of tests.
I got
bitten by a raccoon.
That's right. Arsenal, they passed a test, beating Southampton at home 3-2.
Yeah.
Welbs got a double.
He did.
A few of my Southampton supporting friends, I saw them on Twitter, saying a lot of positives to take from that game. No points, though.
No.
Zero points.
Said with a smile and a fist pump.
You won't be taking any points, will you?
Minus one goal difference.
Take all the positives you want. You'll be in the championship.
Can we exchange? They're not like Avios.
You can't exchange them for points.
Can I exchange them for points?
should Welbeck be on the England jet come the summer?
We were discussing this before we came on. Mm. And
what did we find?
A bit late for him, maybe, because of his fitness problems. And,
yeah.
And I think, and you made a good point, Marcus, which is the system that England look like they want to play might not suit him that
well.
If
it was a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, you'd probably have him in there on a wide position. But the 3-5-2,
And he's not been, and I'm sure Jim would be able to tell us more because he watches Arsenal much more than I do, but the problem is he's not been able to sort of prove his fitness consistently either.
No.
And, you know, it's the last thing you'd really need when you go to a tournament.
Yeah.
You don't know if a player's going to be fully fit, and if he gets an injury, it's just a bit of a nightmare and all that kind of stuff.
His best chance is someone else getting an injury, isn't it? The thing with Danny Welbeck is he can be quite a frustrating player in that, you know, he will pop up with the goods here and there and do some great stuff, but then, you know, there's air shots here and there and chances he should put away, and I think it's just a bit... It's a bit too late for him, isn't it?
It's too late.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, Gareth Southgate does really value it when players, you know, are sort of ingrained in the England team and put a shift in for England and do well for England. And Welbeck always has done that. Yeah. I don't think anyone would take that away from him. So
his scoring record for England isn't bad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When was the last time he would have played? It would have been
a long while ago, yeah. But, you know.
Was he injured for Euro 2016? He certainly played in the World Cup. I mean, he's played in World Cups and Euros for England.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, if he was on that jet, then I wouldn't be disappointed or shocked.
No. But it'll
be slightly surprised.
It'll be if, say, Marcus Rashford's injured or, you know, something else happens.
Yeah.
I would like to say as well, I think it's gone under the radar a little bit how well Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has started for Arsenal. And that's such a positive for looking towards next season, because that's all we can really do now.
He's got 6 and 7 and in the Premier League.
Something like that. And he's been involved in goals as well. He's been really sort of linking up very, very well. And
he looks happy. He does look happy. You don't see a lot.
Yeah, you don't see that a lot at the Emirates, do you? It's refreshing.
He doesn't realise what's going on.
Shut up.
He'll figure it out.
The people are going, what is that man's face doing?
The problem, we're just behind the champions, are we? That's good. And the empty seats, must be traffic problem.
That man has an upside down grimace.
The problem for Arsenal players isn't that. It's when the new players realise that if they do something wrong, they never get punished. Yeah. And they just do whatever they want. Yeah.
Well, he has no history of that sort of thing, so we'll be...
I think he just pops over to Milan or wherever he likes to hang out over as much as he wants, and then there's no repercussion at all. Arsenal... going well in the Europa League. We never really talk about this because of the scheduling and so on. But they got a good win against, was it CSKA Moscow?
Yeah.
It could have been more. Obviously, you'd have fancied that. But that Aaron Ramsey goal.
You were salivating about this all weekend, weren't you?
I was. But the thing is, I'm sure some people or a lot of people saw it and thought it was a good goal. I think that that's one of the goals of the season.
I completely agree.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Purely because, you know, I think in any sort of goal of the season contention list, you've got to have goals that you rarely see. And it was such a unique sort of like weird kind of kung fu volley that he did. And clearly, you know, planned it every step of the way. Otherwise, why would you do such an odd thing? it was great. Loved it.
There we are.
More of it, please.
Yeah, well, Arsenal, I mean, they could win the Europa League, although, as I say, just behind Chelsea.
They've got to prioritise that. They have to absolutely prioritise that.
And Wenger is. I mean, Lacazette was, you know, scored in that game.
His second goal was so well taken. Yeah. And Wenger said that for a big chunk of the season, Lacazette was playing with a knee injury, which was really hampering his mobility. And you could sort of see that, because it was a really smart finish against CSKA. And, I just really hope that we start to see the player that was there and present at the beginning of the season.
It's going to be tricky, though. If Arsenal do get through, they're obviously in pole position. You know, Atletico Madrid could be in the next round, something like that. Not easy at all. Southampton, 18th. It's looking bleak. It is looking bleak.
Well, for most people, doesn't look that bleak.
Well, I mean, I think Arsenal deserve credit because they also get criticised rightly, I think, for having been a bit soft-centred.
The first goal was so soft.
Mustafi really should have done far more to stop Shane Long getting in there, but his immediate reaction was to have a go at Petr Cech, and that says a lot about his attitude.
I was just going to give him credit for saying that, you know, they were pegged back a couple of times, weren't they? They went a goal behind, didn't they? And they pegged back to 2-2 and they still came out of the win, which I think is important.
El Nenny's going to be missing that.
Yep, it's a shame.
But Southampton, you know, I mean, they're in big trouble, really. I mean, joking aside, I mean, they're
one of suspensions, Jack Stevens as well getting sent off. You know, it's not good. Will they take heart from that performance, or will they just think, ugh?
Well, it's not your heart, chat.
Yeah, it's a tough. When they were beaten so badly by West Ham, that was obviously a bad result because West Ham were also in the trouble and still sort of arguably are. But not only that, they go to Arsenal next, they get beaten, they do okay, but they still don't come away with nothing, and then they play Chelsea. Now, I know Chelsea have got their own problems, but you would still fancy Chelsea to be a decent game for them. It doesn't look great for them, really. They just don't score enough goals, and they scored fewer than a goal a game this season in the Premier League, which isn't... You're always going to have problems when you like that, and so it's tough.
Charlie Austin's still the top scorer, isn't he? He's missed so much football.
There you are.
That tells you everything you need to know.
It's beginning to look great for Newcastle United,
isn't
people.
It?
I think Newcastle might be all right, lads.
Wow.
Are they 10 points clear of the relegation zone? I mean, that seems an awful lot to me. I mean,
they're going to bring up that season.
What?
Yeah. Are you going to bring up the lead?
I mean, you know, it's not anymore.
10 points clear, though, with a game in hand over most teams as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that game in hand is against Spurs, but I mean,
they're on for a top half.
You smashed Spurs a couple of years ago.
Good point,
on the final day.
We just need to get relegated, then we'll do it again.
Yeah. Surely Ashley will sell in the summer if you get a top half.
Well, it's not so much Ashley selling, it's someone buying, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the most pertinent issue with Newcastle United is the managerial situation. I think
talk of Real Sociedad.
If Rafa goes, it'll be.
But if Rafa goes, Ben Arfa in.
It's a massive.
Don't you understand?
It's a massive opportunity miss for Newcastle United football.
Ben Arfa player manager. I would give Benitez all the money within reason. All the money he wants to stay.
Hey, he has done a fine
salary
job
because he's really so good.
Look at what he's done with that squad. Look how many times they were described as a championship squad, and they're still a championship squad for my money, with a couple of notable exceptions.
But they're a Premier League team.
I've said this time and time again, so I'll try not to bore people to death with it, but he's so good at targeting the games they can get points out of, setting up the teams properly, managing his admittedly probably quite light on quality squad to get the absolute most out of them. A great win against Leicester. Based on what you were saying earlier, Jim, about how well Aubameyang started at Arsenal, maybe going under the radar, would you guys say that the season that Vardy's having has gone a bit under the radar?
I absolutely think, yes.
Because that story we were fed over and over again, especially when they won the title of him playing non-league football, the rest of it. It's almost like this season people have just started to accept him as a good Premier League striker.
He's a goal scorer.
He's got 20 goals this season. He's got 19 goals, I think, this season in all competitions.
One of the things that impresses me so much about Vardy is people often say, or the stats rather say, that he only had about four touches or he hardly had the ball and, you know, Leicester didn't have much possession in the final third and so on. Yet Vardy will score. He is switched on for that 90 minutes and he is just waiting.
He's absolutely fantastic without the ball as well.
He's waiting. And he can wait 89 minutes and have nothing. Not one pass. Get a chance, bang, he's there.
The football of the weekend, watching Napoli Kiev, I'm sure we'll talk about it fairly soon. But like, if they had a player like that, it would just takes his chances.
Ruthless.
He would have scored about 4 or 5 in that match.
I think Vardy's really unlucky that Harry Kane's doing what he's doing because, you know, if Vardy was England's number one starting striker, you know, you wouldn't say, oh, we're a bit light up there.
No, he's got 5 in his last 6 with club and country. He's 16 league goals this season.
Absolutely, yeah. But of course, his one goal wasn't enough because Jonjo scored a lovely
goal. Jonjo weighed in with his only Premier League goal of the season.
Get him on the plane.
What a dummy, though. That dummy took two players out.
Yeah. Roll it.
Shelby was like, right, I'll get us over the line.
Well, and it was...
That's survival, isn't it? And Perez is lob.
That was a lovely goal.
It was a lovely goal, wasn't it?
I don't know
what Schmeichel was doing that far out.
No, but it was great. It was a great presence of mind and execution to finish it.
Yeah, just one look up and just like kind of... You know, tipping it over the kit. Oh, lovely.
You could see Schmeichel knew it had gone in without even looking round.
He may as well have just fallen backwards like Peter Schmeichel did against Philippe Albert.
But we should also, if we're going to praise Vardy, which I think is right that we do, we should also praise Lascelles. Because if Vardy's that good, then Lascelles, to me, must be the real deal.
He did keep Vardy very, very quiet until, obviously, he's gone. But, like, it's... He looks like he's
got the full package. Yeah. And I think if you're worried about Benitez moving, you might do well to be worried about Lascelles leaving as well.
The Eagles are circling.
He's been very unlucky, Lascelles, not to be given a chance for England at any kind of, in any squad situation or train with them, you know. But surely he'll get some England caps.
I do get the feeling that Jamal Sells at an England level, he's either the main man or there's no point in playing him because he marshals so well.
Well, do you know what? Maybe that's it.
Like,
maybe,
you know, he's either captain or he's nothing.
Well,
maybe
there's something in that, what you say. Are we ready to talk about the Championship?
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm. I believe Cardiff played Wolves. And I believe Wolves won, and that's all we've got time for on that. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for those who tweeted all your Neil Warnock-related stuff, as if we didn't see it. But with you, dear listeners, we will never miss something like this. And Wolves just about wrapped up the title. Of course, it was a brilliant win for them, and Cardiff missing 2 penalties in injury time. Neil Warnock, he seemed annoyed with Nuno Espirito Santo after the game. Santo apparently celebrated with his players after... Well, he did. There's nothing apparent about that. He celebrated with his players after the full-time whistle rather than shaking Warnock's hand first. Reportedly did this against Middlesbrough 2 quite recently, and Santo said, "I have to say I'm sorry. I was talking to an assistant and he told me in Britain that they don't do that here. But I arrived here and I love this country and I love the football. I want to be a gentleman to all managers. I'm sorry to Tony Pulis. I'm very sorry to Neil Warnock. It was not my intention to be disrespectful, but it's very difficult in the last minute when there is a penalty and your keeper saves it. You have to celebrate.
A comprehensive apology.
Yeah, I'm honest. And once again, I'm sorry. And I'll try to avoid it." Very comprehensive.
Yeah, very comprehensive. And he said it's not passive aggressive. It's just a genuine apology for what
happened. It's not one of those, "I'm sorry if you were offended."
Really sorry. And he said, "You know, I'll go up to Warnock's office and hopefully I can explain myself there." Warnock said in response, "I don't accept it at all. I think it were totally out of order. I think it was a total disgrace and I used strong words and I meant every single one of them."
Yeah. He also said, "I saw Nuno celebrating last week against Middlesbrough and I was furious about him doing that to Tony Pulis."
Stop ganging up on him.
And he also said,
it's not about me.
Someone's got to tell them about British football and what you do.
What you do?
Well, what you do is win games by the look of it.
Yeah. Well, he offered to go to Warnock's office to explain and apologise, but Warnock said he wouldn't go into his office until Santo had gone, as he didn't want to see him.
Yeah, and also if you look at the footage, Santo has. I'm not saying Santo's perfect or anything like that, by the way. But if you look at the footage, Santo is on the pitch trying to chase down Warnock. Yep. He's trying to clap his fans, and every time he tries to grab him, Warnock just turns around and goes, "Fuck off, fuck off." Yeah, exactly. He tells him about four times.
I love the fact that when somebody does something wrong, he didn't shake my hand right.
He can never get that back.
And I can act in any way. Yeah,
I've got
the
high ground forever. Yeah,
Warnock repeatedly told him to F off. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's worse.
That is much worse.
He didn't shake my hand.
Yeah.
I am now Tony Soprano and he's dead to me. Yeah. He is dead to me.
I can now action the rule book for the British managers, in which we can behave appallingly for someone who has broken our code of conduct.
But you wouldn't know about that because you're one of them foreigners.
Brexit means Brexit.
It does, Jim. Fulham moved close to Cardiff thanks to a goal from Mitrovic.
But Newcastle aren't missing him.
No, don't need him.
Don't need him.
Think where Newcastle would be if Mitro was in the side.
Fulham have got a reasonable chance of getting that automatic spot.
They do.
You know?
Well, with Mitrovic.
Yeah, anything's possible.
I
can see him scoring a hat-trick against him next season.
He ain't going to play for Newcastle again, so I'm just enjoying him, just having a nice time.
So if Benitez leaves and they got Mitrovic starting and Ben Arfa, would you take that?
Say again, I forgot what, sorry.
So would you swap Benitez for Mitrovic and Ben Arfa back in the
That's
side?
A very underwhelming.
Managerial duo.
if you give me that option, I absolutely would.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. If we're doing us in the voting system, I think we've already passed it.
Before we go to a quick break, a little mention for Lincoln City, who won the Chequered Trade Trophy final against Shrewsbury Town. Cowley boys, eh?
Shrewsbury fan and friend of the Ramble, Murray James, presumably fuming.
Yeah.
I'm pleased that they got beat because they beat Portsmouth at Fratton Park and I was there and it was annoying.
All right, Warnock.
There you go. No, I'm furious. Someone needs to tell those shrews how we do things in Britain. How we do things outside of
Shropshire.
Sounds
like they have.
Yeah.
They've lost a big game. That's how we do things. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about our little trip to Napoli after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Muy rápido, muy, muy, like a Ferrari.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Thursday. Our better failed as the Merseyside derby ended 0-0. Luke Moore.
Yeah, Rob Loveridge, you stepped up, to be fair to you. You called me out on Twitter. I gave you the opportunity. You didn't take the opportunity. I'm interested to see what you've got to say on Twitter now, because you've been very quiet.
has he not got back in touch?
Not that I've seen, but then I do get an awful lot of mentions, Pete. Before we move on to what we're going to talk about, I just really want to direct people to the merchandise. 6 days left to buy those limited edition t-shirts, fcramble.com. There's some spiffing examples of t-shirts on there, so do check it out, fcramble.com. And also, please do check out our social accounts at The Football Ramble on Instagram and at Football Ramble on Twitter, because you can see video evidence of what we're about to talk about now.
We were in Naples on the weekend, and we went to watch Napoli versus Chievo. But we had a lovely time in Naples. We saw Pompeii, which is well worth a visit.
You three did.
I
went to McDonald's.
Yeah. It's so predictable, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah. It's not predictable.
You've expressed no regret about it.
The thing is, Jim,
I Pompey's always going to be there. All right? Yeah, but go anytime.
You aren't always going to be there, though, are you? That's why we went then.
With capitalism under pressure, McDonald's might not always be there.
And you can't go to McDonald's anywhere else. So part of the reason it would have been cool to go to Pompey with you is because of the Luke and Pete show. We'd have plenty to talk about. Now I've got to do it all on my own.
Oh, got it. Oh. What, you just talking for hours?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, something's too bad. But we went to the
San Paolo game. Now, I'm sure we'll talk about this game in a slightly different light on the continent this week.
Yeah, though, because it was an important game in the context of the Serie A title.
Game.
Juventus had won the day before.
Yep. Napoli, 7 points ahead of
them. Yeah, Napoli went to that game 7 points behind, near to hold on to Juventus' coattails. They needed a win against 14th placed Chievo.
I think what was great about seeing that stadium is, obviously, people of our age would remember it from the 1990 World Cup. Mm. And it hasn't been improved upon since.
No, it's very run down.
It's a creaking ruin, but it's gorgeous.
It reminded me like the San Siro is like iconic, but it was like just Jim made the point that it's like a modern stadium where they've just taken all the shell out off the sides. It's so bare. It's like a skeleton. Mm.
I mean, there are plants growing through the seats in some cases, and I love that.
Yeah,
that's what I come for.
Indeed, yeah. And the home faithful were in good voice throughout.
Oh, fantastic.
Wonderful fans, you know. And of course, Chievo, for those who didn't see it, went 1-0 up after about 74 minutes.
And they had offered nothing up.
Napoli dominated the game, and Chievo completely sucker punched
it. Dominated the game, but like in the final third, they just looked really nervy.
They needed a Vardy.
They needed someone to just put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, Napoli, Pep Guardiola's favourite team, including his own. So we're very pleased to see them in the flesh. They've had a great season so far. It looks like it's going Juventus's way. Mm. C'est la vie. But, you know, second place. And they've been playing wonderful football and so on, and they passed it around well and so on. But as you say, no cutting edge. And they got themselves a penalty. And Dries Mertens, who's been wonderful this season, misses the penalty.
Better save, to be fair to the keeper.
Well, okay, it was a good save. It was good. Can't take that away from him. Chievo, I mean, it was so one-sided.
Yeah.
They had offered nothing going forward. Mm. And then suddenly a little loose ball, ex-Sunderland man, Giaccarini, picks it up and lays it into the forward. It was a great goal.
Yeah,
Shimmy passes the centre-half.
He kept his composure well.
He did. Yeah. Well, he beat the defender and smashes it in.
But they went nuts, didn't they?
Oh, the Chievo, they were all on the pitch. I mean, when they say, you know, add 30 seconds or whatever it is if a goal goes in an injury time, it took about a minute and a half. They were all on the pitch, the subs and the technical staff and everybody. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what, I really want Napoli to win the league this season. There's a few reasons why, but, you know, Juventus always win the league. And you think to yourself, oh, you know, if we can watch Napoli when they win the league, that would be fantastic. And I was sitting there thinking, we're going to watch the game in which they threw the league away. Because they still need to play Juventus, but with 7 points gap, I mean, it wouldn't even matter if they won that game. And the Napoli fans, and then, of course, the big boy Milik came on up front.
But they had chance after chance. Yeah. They hit the bar. They just couldn't find a cutting edge or a finish. It was like it was almost like they understood the weight of the occasion, the pressure. And it looked, to all intents and purposes, and we've all seen them. Everyone listening at home would have seen those types of games where you go and watch your team and you think, it's just not our day today.
Yeah.
We're not going to score. We're playing well, but it's not going to happen.
That's it, in the sunshine. And then Milik came on the substitute. Now, he looked like the pressure wasn't really on him, because he probably thought it's nice to get a start. Nice to get a run out, you know, because there's not much wiggle room in that front three that they've got with Mertens up there. And a beautiful ball in it, and a lovely nodded goal. And 1-1. I remember thinking, we've scored. Yeah. We've seen a goal, you know. Yeah. It was a nice release, frustration.
It was probably about 30 seconds left of the game.
Oh, it was in the 89th minute.
Yeah, you know, a lot of Napoli fans had moved to the sides of the walkways. A lot of them had left. There was a lot of whistling going on. People were annoyed. The glass partition between the stands, people were smacking that when they missed the penalty and all the rest of it. And they scored that goal, and we thought, hang on a minute, it could be on here.
It's one of those ones, isn't it, when you just see everything shift. Yeah.
Well, you think, but if you get one, they'll probably get two.
Well, the rise in the volume of the fans made the second goal feel inevitable. Like, absolutely inevitable.
Because the atmosphere was unreal. Yeah. But the expectation was just palpable.
You just felt,
it?
How could Chievo handle that?
Mm. Yeah. Well, they had a moment where Chievo tipped one past the post, and you thought,
that seemed like the chance, didn't it?
Yeah, and then it came to Diawara, who showed great composure. I mean, it's a lovely goal. The ball drops in, beautiful touch, and curls it into the corner. Pandemonium.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete and I ended up in like a bundle with a couple of old Italian men.
Not for the first time that weekend.
Yeah, I know, right?
In the bathhouse.
It was a better goal watching it back than I thought at the time. He had so little room to work with. His first touch was magnificent. Curled it into the far corner. It would have been tempting just to lash it.
Yeah.
And he placed it perfectly. Yeah. But
that's what live football's about, isn't it? Live football's emotion. Watching it on the television is about watching the craft, I think.
Yeah. But the celebration was amazing. I completely lost myself.
Yeah,
and a guy behind, a sizable guy, jumps fully on my back. I think he was so pleased, because they knew we were English. Mm. He was so pleased that a bunch of English people were there supporting Napoli. I guess he probably thought it was a bit incongruous. And he just completely lost his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jumped on my back and my shoulders. I wasn't expecting it. I piled down about three rows.
Well, I was going to say, like, with those steep seats, you've got to be careful. What did I say to you, Peter, just before the corner came in, before they scored the second goal? I turned to you and I said,
I love you, mother.
I said, if we don't get out of here alive, I want you to know this. I said, this could be the greatest moment of our lives.
Right, yeah. I mean, that is a bit strong.
You, Peter.
It definitely was.
Yeah. I'd say it was.
You know what, though? Like, I've seen my own team win 7-0 in Europe. I've seen the Champions League final. You were there, Mark. You've all been to Champions League finals yourselves as well, separately from that. We've been very lucky to see a lot of football all over the world, and that is the best game I have ever been to.
Best moment. Honestly, but the moment made the game. Well, it made the experience.
That moment would be in my top five live football moments, definitely.
Agreed.
Yeah. And just the stadium and where it was and the sunshine.
And the marijuana smoke.
And the beer. Yeah. They allowed me to drink beer in front of the football.
There was all sorts. I mean, there was the Cuban cigars, a couple of decadent chaps in front of us was puffing on
them. I like to think that they were a tribute to Diego.
Well, there was plenty of tributes to the man.
There was a load of Diego tattoos,
We were seeing
like some of the older chaps, like they would have watched Maradona play in that stadium. It's like crazy.
Yeah. The most English moment of the game for us was when we arrived at the stadium, went up into our little section, couldn't find our seats with the number on the ticket, went up to the steward.
A rare steward.
Yeah, and he was like, sit where you want.
Yeah, of course.
Then I realised there were no numbers on any of the seats anyway. I don't even know why they put numbers on the tickets.
And then we started a fight just to make it more.
No, we didn't. You did.
All right, okay.
But
thanks for backing me up, though.
What a destination to watch football! A great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Fantastic game, and you couldn't really ask for a more dramatic end to the fixture either.
Damn right, baby. No. Damn right.
Beautiful.
Now, is it time for going for Glold?
It is time for going for Glold.
Stop! Is it Diego Maradona?
No.
Barry Grintles.
There we go.
It sounds like it's you doing it live. Yeah, that's why I like it.
Do it again. Barry Grintles.
Barry Grintles.
Too on a funny voice.
Yeah, well, you got to sort of
in a way that was
chin
like
to chest.
Did anyone else find that was quite an underwhelming impression of himself?
Yeah.
Oddly, yeah.
Junior.
Hello to this gentleman, Peterson Hands.
Peterson Hands.
Yeah.
Hands.
Regen. With a D.
FBI agent Peterson Hands. I thought I'd heard the last of him.
Peterson Hands. He's from Melbourne in Australia.
Melbourne.
So Melbourne, eh?
Yeah.
As they call it in Australia, Melbourne.
What did I say? Yeah,
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Yeah. Melbourne.
Come on, mother.
Is it?
Come on, mother.
Peterson Hands. It's probably Peterson Hands, to be fair, but who cares? I was born on the 12th of July, 1973.
Stop. I'm going to go for Rivaldo.
Rivaldo, incorrect.
Stop, Danielson.
Incorrect. Growing up in southwest Sydney, I started my footballing journey with the Marconi Stallions.
Stop. Mark Viduka.
Incorrect.
Stop. Mark Schwarzer.
Incorrect.
Stop. Christian Vieri.
It's Christian Vieri.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Come on.
Well done, Jim.
For crying out loud.
Everyone knows he's weirdly Australian.
I know.
Apologise personally to Peterson Hands.
No.
There you go. They were getting an apology.
Peterson Hands.
Yeah. I randomly once portrayed Ivan Drago from Rocky IV in the Italian film Picasso's Face.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Big. I'm just trying to think.
Christian Vieri's all-time sporting hero is Alan Border as well, the cricketer.
Yes.
Is that one of the clues?
It is an avid cricketer in his youth.
I would have got that straight away. If I got that.
Oh, really?
Jim didn't let us.
Well, that would have been the fourth clue, so you probably would have got it quite earlier. Yeah.
I haven't got one of these right since about February.
Yeah, you've just struggling. Yeah. Jim's cleaned up. I've had a little go in there.
Yeah, you've had Barry Grinter.
I wonder what Pettersson's hand's job is.
Yeah. Write in and tell us, Pettersson. Yeah.
Mixed
You're very pleased with yourself about that, aren't you?
Yeah. I am. I like to know what people do.
You'll swing for this, mother.
Oh, you're doing a dirty joke?
Yeah. Oh, Pete, come on, mate.
I didn't know.
That's normally firmly in your wheelhouse.
I've been drinking for 3 days.
Yeah. Four.
Yeah. But, shall I read out the text message that Pete sent saying he wasn't coming to Pompeii? I can't
because
I haven't got my phone with me.
Because
it was funny though.
I just said
I'll find it if you give me a WhatsApp.
Sleep, and Pompeii will be there later.
Yeah, that's basically the size of it. That'll do.
I went to a castle and had a McDonald's, so beat that for an afternoon.
We went to Pompeii, which was much better.
Marcus said this tour was less. It was more underwhelming than the last time he went because he didn't see the gladiators a bit.
That's not quite what I said.
Yeah. Pete, you're paraphrasing.
Paraphrasing, mate.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. I got it. Go on, Sam. Sam, the man, has put it in front of me. Mm. This is from Pete. We were supposed to meet to go to Pompeii at 11, weren't we?
Too early.
Yeah, too early for you, Pete.
Too early.
At 20 past nine, you sent this to the group chat. I've scrambled my head right off and couldn't sleep until six, so I'll probably see off Pompeii. Apologies, y'all. I feel dreadful. I'll see you afterwards. Love you all.
That's all right, innit?
And then Marcus replied saying, we'll bring you back some volcanic ash. Disrespectful.
Didn't do
disrespectful?
It.
I don't know. Ask the Romans.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
FCRamble.com for limited edition t-shirts. And don't forget to check out our socials if you want to watch a video of that Napoli moment we've just described. See you on Wednesday for On the Continent.
Say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. It's a very long goodbye, Jim. Sorry.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
I'm scrambled.
Arrivederci.
A chance to do a Pompeii highway joke.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around the duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.